purpose-driven. It's not personal. It's purpose. When you see me, there's deeper than what meets the eyes. There is a soul, a spirit, a divine purpose. I am being. Join me Thursdays at 10 a.m. Finding Happy on UME Radio, Thursdays at 10 a.m. Morning. Trying to get my microphone on. Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Finding Happy. We've been away for a while, but now we're back. And today we have an interesting topic that I want to talk about with you. And it is, let me share my screen. The topic is Black Family Enterprise, the role of the man. What inspired this topic for me was one evening I was watching Let's Talk Relationships, and there was a particular letter submitted by a young lady. And she was speaking about the experience she was having with her husband. And I remember before her husband had submitted a letter to us as well, speaking about his experience that he was having with his wife. And they kind of wanted to hear a conversation around those issues to, I guess, reflect and see how they could navigate their relationship by getting help or even changing perspectives or, you know, however the conversation could have helped. And as I heard the conversation, I felt like I wanted to talk about the family, the Black family, but from the perspective of enterprising, because you know what Finding Happy is about, right? Finding Happy, it really is about pursuing divine purpose and myself sharing with you my own experience of walking in purpose or discovering my purpose, unearthing my true potential and pursuing that divine purpose. And in so doing, I discuss varying topics based on how they affect my own life and based on what I'm learning about myself and the rest of the world around me. And so as I heard that conversation, I thought, you know, it would have been really nice. So there was a particular guest I wanted to speak with because he made a particular comment where he said something to the effect of Black men are slow to uptake counseling because they feel as though they're going to be corrected. And they feel as though when they go, and I'm paraphrasing, when they go, for example, they may the counselor may take the side of the female. And so I wanted to have that conversation because it intrigued me. It intrigued me. And so I wanted to have that conversation. But regrettably, we're not able to have that conversation today, but I'm still going to be speaking with you. And we have a possible guest who will be able to come on and join the conversation a little later. But before that person comes, I just want to have a conversation with you. Have you thought about enterprising? Have you thought about having a business, a brand, when it comes to your family? For me personally, I reflect based on the conversations that were being had, as I reflect on marriage and family and what my thoughts were on those topics, I had a rude awakening. I started realizing that when I thought about a marriage, it was really a wedding that I was thinking about. I wasn't necessarily thinking about a man, a home, kids, us living together in the same home and what that might mean. Those things didn't come to my mind. It really was, oh, I'm going to find someone who I'm going to love. He's going to love me. We're going to get married. And yeah. But now that I'm of a more informed position and having gone through my own thoughts on it, I'm realizing that marriage is a partnership. It's a collaboration. It's the beginning of a network, right? Starting with two people. And should God bless this duo, this union, then more people will come into play to create your own little network. I remember growing up and I did social studies, and I think it was in social studies that I learned that the family was the first institution in the community. But I never really stopped to zone in on why it's even considered an institution. Why is it even thought to be an institution? Right? School is an institution, church is an institution, the government is an institution. The family is also an institution. I never really dived into why it's seen that way. But now I understand why it is that way, because that's the first place, the first preparation, yeah, that one gets. That's where everything starts. That's where it begins. That's where who you become begins. That's where what you do begins. That's where your perspectives begin, right? So it means that the family is critical to your outcome. And that's why it's the first institution. So this isn't something that should be taken lightly. It is something that should be pursued with divine purpose, with purpose, right? Which goes back to even relationships, who you meet, how you meet them, where you meet them, who you decide to make a partner in your family. When you think of getting married, you should be thinking, who do I want to partner with to cultivate a life that will have abundance, happiness, principles, value, worth, you know, that can build a system around my kids for them to be able to launch strong. It has to be more than just sex or legal sex and having someone to do stuff around the house or having someone to help you, you know, and those things are good too. But it has to be more than, hi, Apostle Faith, good morning. It has to be more. Getting involved with someone has to be more than just the romanticism of it. And like I said, that's where my mind was. I was all about the romanticism. I wasn't even thinking about anything else until I started learning more and paying attention. And in a way, I kind of have restrained myself from even getting married. I've been proposed to, but I'm not married. In an odd kind of way, I knew what I would want my marriage to be and look like. And it wasn't about who could have sex with me. This may sound weird to you, but for me, I don't know if it's because I've been a victim of sexual crimes, but to me, sex is something I can give to anyone who asks if I chose to. I don't think it's that big a deal, personally, yes? I understand the spiritual connection that can come from it, but you have to invest your heart and your mind for that to happen, your soul, right? But it's something that someone can say, I want to have sex with you, and I can say yes or no, and we can do it and we'll move on. That's not something I get married for, right? If I can survive a rape, it means that sex is not that critical, right? So how I view it is it had to be more than that. And it had to be, I can collaborate with you, you can collaborate with me. We can build something together. And I didn't even I didn't really associate that thinking with marriage. I just thought, because I've heard so much, you know, you're so independent in your thinking and so on. So I just figured because of that thinking, that kind of focus, then I wouldn't get married because that's not what men are looking for. So that's what I kind of told myself or thought to myself, because I got the impression that I remember the first guy I dated. I remember when he said to me, you know, it's good that you're going to university and everything, but when we're married, you'll be a stay-at-home mom. I remember, and I was just like, you gotta be kidding me. The way I grew up, ain't nobody gonna take my independence. I grew up depending on everybody else. So I was very clear at the age of 8 that I'm going to be independent. I'm going to take care of myself, and my financial security was on me. And that's the position I've taken. And so I know connecting with men, working with men, I have partnership with men, and I see the unique relationship, right, that men and women have. And I think in the Black community, it's very disempowering and it's very damaging, the relationship Black women and Black men have. It's very damaging. And that's based on my experience. It's also based on research. If you look at the research, you'll see, right, it's a very damaging and damning relationship. I remember once a business partner said to me, I can't take the correction. You're constantly correcting me. You just keep correcting me. And I just can't deal with it. Like, I don't want to be constantly corrected. And I thought to myself, damn, what do you want? How do you get better? Would you like me to sit here and just watch you be? He didn't say, could you improve on the way you correct me? Could you do it a different way? That's not what he said. He was just affronted by my correction. And I'm thinking to myself, no, if we're doing this together, we should be making each other better. You know, we should be making each other better. So those are just some of the thoughts that's going through my mind and why we're having this conversation this morning. Yes, I'm going to share something with you. No one seems to have time for friendship these days. And it's from this book called, I hope you can see it, Latte for Life. And there's a story behind this book. This book was gifted to me by the girlfriend of the guy who stole my very profitable business. And I kept it. I have kept it. I think it wasn't too bad a trade. No one seems to have time for friendship these days. Everyone is overscheduled. And if there is one thing friendship requires, it's time. You have to invite prospective friends over for an evening before you even know whether they are prospective friends. If you seem compatible, you have to keep investing time to allow a friendship to blossom. Finding a friend is as challenging as finding a spouse. I believe that. There are also various levels of friendship to consider. Casual friendships are easy. They are pleasant to spend an evening with, go to weekend events with, and catch up on local gossip with. But these are superficial friendships and soon die if someone moves away or their children transfer to a different school. They're like a nice dessert, but they aren't very enriching. Then there are serious friendships that can endure anything, forgive anything. These are few and hard to find. They may grow from casual friendships, but most likely do not because of the huge investment they require. Once acquired, friends like these are precious blessings. You can call these friends at 3 a.m. and they will be there for you. In times of tragedy, they will listen to you and cry with you. In good times, you will want to share your joy with them, and your happiness will make them happy. Good friends are good nourishment for the heart and soul. Take the time needed to build such friendships, and you will never be lonely again. A loyal friend laughs at your jokes when they're not so good and sympathizes with your problems when they're not so bad. Arnold Glasgow. So, and one friendship fact. Friendships not only make you happier, but they can make you healthier too. creating strong bonds with another person will lower blood pressure, heart rate, and cholesterol. I wanted to share that as kind of a basis for the conversation. Yes? I wrote a course that is not yet published. It hasn't been published, but will be soon. And it's called Learn How to Build Mutually Beneficial Relationships. And I'm going to share some excerpts from it with you today. But before that, I want to share with you what being Black means to me. Being Black means to me being different, being strong, and being outstanding. That's what it means to me. When you think of Black, what comes to your mind? When you think African, what comes to your mind? These are the things top of mind for me. I don't mind being different. I like it. I revel in it. My difference is my superpower, right? Being different is something I love to embrace because I do not want to be anybody else but me, the original, right? So I'm Raquel and I love being Raquel, right? And I'm different. And I love when I meet people who bring the difference out in me and I see the difference in them and we can connect anyway, right? It's so beautiful. It really is. I remember growing up, I was very suicidal a lot of times in my life. And what helped me was travel. And it wasn't my circumstances that made me suicidal. I really didn't understand what it was. There are times that I would just be up and going. And then I would have these lows that I go to. I didn't, at the time, I didn't quite understand, you know, the replenishing process, the rebuilding process, the silent times to rebuild after you've exerted power energy. I didn't understand that at the time. But what I used to feel was trapped in my life. I used to feel very trapped, very cornered, right? And I'm a coach. It's my gift. So just if you understand what that means, it would be difficult for me to feeling trapped is not a place I want to be. But in other words, feeling trapped is really just feeling like I want to do something, but I might feel like I can't. And then I started traveling. I did it myself. I did it for myself. And as I traveled through books first, and then I did actual traveling, getting on a plane, getting on transportation and going somewhere. And what that did for me was expand my perspective, my perceptions, my paradigms. And I realized that more people are more different than they are alike. Right? Which means that chances are we're meant to be different. We're meant to be more different than alike. And it's okay when you have similarities and commonalities with somebody else, but it's so important to be your different, whatever that is, and embracing it. So for me, being African means being different. I love Africans. Oh my gosh, we're so rich in personality and culture and style. Yes? And we're strong. Oh, we're strong. Not because we have to go through more challenges than anybody else. Because the things that they say define us, I don't believe those are the things that define us. We're not poor. So, and we're not slaves. So those things to me do not define Africans. We're strong because we're strong in character. We're strong in belief systems. We're strong in the way we think and the way we do things. I don't know if you've ever seen this song. It went viral, Jerusalem. I remember watching that song over and over and just watching it. And this is no, you know, hard feelings towards people of other colors, because we're all people of color. But I watched the lighter skin tones dance. And then I watched the Africans dance. And my gosh, we have, somebody's calling me. We have this energy, this honest energy that we exert when we do something. That's why we set trends. That's why we're successful. And gosh, if we could define ourselves that way instead of by poverty or lack, just imagine what we could do. But we have this strength, this gumption that we infuse in whatever we do, this intensity that is beautiful. We're strong. And we are outstanding. I'm not even going to break that down. We are outstanding. And that's what I think when I think Black. We're talking about Black family enterprise, the role of the man. And I just want to share some data with you from various sources, just for you to think about while I have this conversation, for you to understand that this is not just a my thinking thing, but there's actual research out there that shares some of the perspectives that I expound on, and some of the thoughts that I'll share. There's information out there to also share with you other perspectives of it. And the realness of it. So African-Americans, I call it Africans. I don't believe in any such thing as African-Americans. You're just Africans living in America. Africans have played a profound role in shaping the US business landscape. That's fact. Technological innovations like the traffic light, automatic elevator doors, and even caller ID all sprung from the minds of creative Black luminaries. Historically, Black-owned companies like Madame C.J. Walker's Hair Care line and the businesses that formed Tulsa, Oklahoma's Black Wall Street were developed in direct response to racial discrimination. Take note of that, because I'm going to talk about that too. And here's a quote. These segregation patterns then created market opportunities for Black entrepreneurs to step in, make money, and meet the demands of the Black community, says Mirza Baradaran, author of The Color of Money, Black Banks and the Racial Wealth Gap. With few work opportunities and high job instability, many Black pioneers took matters into their own hands, building small enterprises that served and employed fellow Africans. I'm going to just settle right here and talk about this article because, you know, it's kind of bugging my mind. You see, I think I had an episode before, or I don't know if it was on 21 Behavior Change. I spoke about our conversation, how we speak about our life, our legacy, our family, right? Our race. Now, when I hear something like, and this is good data, by the way, important for us to know. When I hear things like the segregation patterns then created market opportunities. You know? Things like, where is it? Many Black pioneers took matters into their own hands. It kind of irritates me. You know? It kind of irritates me. First of all, we created our own opportunities. We had the need for something, and so we created opportunities. Segregation, if we're going to decide that segregation was not a good thing, then we can't then say it created opportunities. Huh? Does that mean then that the segregation was good for us because it did create some opportunities? That's just one thing. And then when it says, many Black pioneers took matters into their own hands. So whose hands was it supposed to be in? Our responsibility, my responsibility, is to create opportunities for myself or access opportunities for myself and my family. And it is my responsibility to create my own wealth. When they put these writings these ways, we actually read it and some of us actually believe it. Right? Which leads to us sometimes taking on definitions and descriptions about ourselves that isn't quite true. And that's limiting and disempowering. Yes? I'm going to keep reading. The rate of Black business creation continued to rise and fall throughout the 20th and 21st century, increasing in the 90s, dipping during the 2008 recession, and rising again post-recession. In recent years, the number of Black-owned businesses have risen dramatically, with Black women fueling much of that growth. And that's right. And both things that I just read came from Forbes.com. And I wanted to share these because of the things that the next point I want to bring about, I want to zone in on as well, is Black women fueling much of that growth. I just want us to think about it. Yes? I want to share something with you from the Jamaica Observer website. Renowned Jamaican scientist and business owner Dr. Henry Lowe bemoaned the fact that Black Jamaicans needed to create a culture of business ownership similar to the Chinese and the Indians. It was so interesting to me when he said Black Jamaicans, right? And rightly so, rightly so. And here's a quote. Most of the Black population never saw themselves as being business people. It was always about being a civil servant or a professional, like a doctor or lawyer, and that's it, he declared, concluding in a pointed quip, I have brains, so I will go for the professions, but wealth creation is not a part of me. Powerful quote. Powerful and very true. And it's not just Black Jamaicans, it's also Africans in America as well. Yes, we're still talking about Black family enterprise, the role of the man. Two factors have been deemed essential to a successful business launch and a firm's ultimate longevity: access to human capital and financial capital. Human capital refers to the personal characteristics that facilitate an individual's economic advancement, such as education and work experience. While financial capital represents formal and informal monetary resources that support the establishment and sustainability of a business, another form of business capital that has been examined as an auxiliary resource is that of social capital. And that's why I'm sharing this particular one with you. Social capital. Social capital refers to the networks and relationships that individuals form in a given society that aid in effective functioning or norms of reciprocity. The importance, one moment, I think my producer is saying something to me. Okay, so my guest will be late, no problem. Thank you. So we'll continue. I hope he shows up because I'd really like to have a conversation with Emil. The importance of human and financial capital to the entrepreneurial process is undeniable, but social capital is equally crucial to business success. Research has demonstrated that when compared to other minority business owners, Black entrepreneurs are at a social capital deficit or disadvantage. I would say deficit. I mean, deficit. Yeah. And this came from the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation report, The State of Black Entrepreneurship in America. And if you're honest with yourself, you can't disagree with this. If you're honest with yourself, this is not a bashing. This is a come to Jesus, come to honesty, come to realness, truth conversation. We need to have those true conversations because this has to change. It can't continue this way. It has to change, right? We're talking about Black family enterprise and the role of the man. And then I'm going to share something with you from the book, from the course that I'm writing. You will never get a result greater than the quality or quantity of your relationships. Never, ever, 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 ever. Yes? Let that sink in. Digest that. Yes? You, according to Jim Rohn, motivational speaker, and I agree with him. I'm not just sharing it because he said it, but I'm saying sharing it because I've experienced it. I believe it, and it is true. You are the average of the five closest persons to you, the people who you spend most your time with. Let's say hello to who's calling me. Hi, Keith. Good morning. You're live on my show. Say hello to my listeners.
Good morning. Good morning, everyone.
Yes, you've been calling persistently, so I'm responding. Should there be an emergency?
Wow.
Because I'm assuming you know that I'm live today on Finding Happy, so.
you know, it's funny because today I'm actually at a work today, so I'm off.
Well, join me because I'm a black man was supposed to join me but was not able to, so maybe you could be my guest today. Log on. Would you like to join me and be my guest today?
Why not?
There you go. The producer will send you the details. Well, thank you for calling.
All right.
Okay. There we go. So I have a guest. So producer, please connect him. So you are the average of the five closest people with whom you spend most of your time. Very, very important to note. It's very important, yes? Okay. So I want to also share this. When I think of Black family enterprise, these are some terms that come to my mind, and I think these are some terms should come to yours as well. And then I'm going to share a bit from my course again about relationships and how we choose them. Yes? Vision, trust, transparency, correction, purpose, divine purpose, willingness, perseverance, family first. I have grown to realize that when I think of marriage, what I really should have been thinking about were these words. Not so much the fantasy of it and the wedding and all of that. And I'm not saying those things are unimportant. You determine what's important to you. But to the success of any business, these things are critical. Which means that to the success of any marriage, any partnership, these things are important. So now when I think of marriage and I think of a partner, these are the things I'm thinking. Family first, perseverance, willingness, being willing, divine purpose. And divine purpose is number one. They don't appear, the way they appear is not the level of importance, right? Divine purpose is number one. Correction. I want to be with someone who holds me accountable holds me accountable to the best expression of myself. Of myself. Yes? Transparency. I don't want to wonder. I don't want to wonder where you are. Because you should engage. I want you to engage me. Trust. Yes? And by trust, I mean truth. God's truth. Not my truth or yours. Walk in God's truth. And we have to pray and ask God to make us strong for that, right? And vision. There must be vision before marriage. If you don't have a vision board, a family vision board, what are you doing walking down the aisle? And if any counselor lets you through the door without sitting with you to create, to at least guide you in creating a vision board, I would recommend you find a new one. Or maybe you need to meet a wedding coach, a life coach, in addition to a counselor. Because that's really not a counselor's job. A counselor's job really is to unearth, right? The potential in you, to help you unearth your potential. But what you do with that potential, a coach needs to guide. Every wedding couple, every couple preparing to get married must sit with a life coach. If not, what are you doing? Investing all this money in a day of expression for what? Just saying, yes? Just saying. It's important. It is important. Now, I'm going to share this while I wait for producer. Are you able to get Keith on to join me? Let me just answer some questions before I go to this. Okay, so here we go. Let me go from the top so I can answer as many as I can. Okay, so a good friend is better than pocket money. I've heard that saying a lot of times. And you know what? I'm going to tell you something that I learned in 2020. I think it was 2020. Something I learned. It is critical for us to maintain our African language. My guest is here. I'll let him on soon. Thank you, Keith, for joining me. It's so critical to maintain our mother tongue. Right? And I'm so sorry. I feel like I missed out on mine in a way because of how I grew up. I grew up with a lot of professionals and a lot of them weren't necessarily Jamaicans. I was in like an informal foster care system. That's how I grew up. But you see little terms like even that, good friends are better than pocket money. You see, our foreparents created language that enabled and empowered them to exit the slavery system. So why aren't we using that language? Why have we deferred it? Why have we not used it? There was wisdom in it. It was a tool. It was strategic. And you know, it took me some time to really sit down and I'm like, there were these little nuggets that they gave us that they would have us repeat and repeat and repeat. And I didn't even understand how important they were, because they were instilling belief in self. And this one is 100% correct. The right relationship is more valuable than money, because money is only a medium of exchange. A relationship is an investment. It's enterprising. All right. Thank you for that, Official Marsha J. Apostle Faith Walters said, and I want to say something about this lady. She is, I don't know that I've met anyone so supportive. She shows up, and I really have become intentional in supporting her. Feet, water where you're watered. Yes, I have to say it. So thank you, Apostle Faith. And that's why I know that you are set to lead, because I see you lead by example. Women tend to not necessarily support other women, especially in our community, which is very sad. But she's someone who shows up and continues to show up. And I find it very admirable. Being Black means empowered to greatness, determined, driven, absolutely, absolutely. Being Black means tenacity, determined, strong. Yes, that is true. That is absolutely true. So here is a question before I bring my guest on. Here's what I don't get. Why aren't we more intentional about us? Good question. And that's a question I want to ask my guest as well, because it starts with leadership. It starts with leadership. Self-value, things like that, right? That's where it starts. Gone are the days of random family planning. I like that one. You know, you're correct. Those days are out the window. We can no longer afford not to plan. We can no longer afford that. I want to share this with you, and then I'm going to invite Keith to join me. Choosing relationships that increase your value. Some of us protect our money with our lives. We go to all kinds of banks. We do everything to secure our money. Yes? We evaluate every purchase. We do not lend. We find the right bank to secure our savings, and we think thrice before spending a dime. However, we let anyone into our minds, hearts, and physical space. Anyone. Just any random person can impact how we think. Somebody randomly says something and you're all up in your feelings already. They already have power over you. Let me read that again. We let anyone into our minds, our hearts, and our physical space. Why do we go through so much lengths to protect our money, build our brands and business, and cultivate a lifestyle? However, we leave everything to chance when it comes to relationships. I'm going to stop there, and then I'm going to invite Keith on with me now.
Hey.
Hello, hello, hello. Isn't it funny? This is where we started, right?
Yeah.
Finding out.
I just had the same thought. Yeah,
before yes.
I went into the LTR, let's talk relationships.
Right. So DJ KTE, yes, DJ KTE is the co-host, one of the co-hosts for Let's Talk Relationships. He's here with me today and we're going to have a conversation. And the topic, Keith, should you not have seen it, is Black Family Enterprise, the role of the man.
Yes.
And so I'm going to be asking you, let me see if I can put it up. Here we go. Isn't that a beautiful picture? It's gorgeous.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Awesome.
Black Family Enterprise, the role of the man. Your thoughts.
Wow. You know, as I saw that picture, what came to mind was that you hear terms like Black were the original, they were the first, and everything came from that, from out of them, if you're the nation, you know, all these things. But I can't help but think about Black as a whole person, all right? you're dealing with the mental aspect, you're dealing with the physical aspect and the spiritual aspect of the black man. You know, I look at Africa as I heard you mention the culture and the language as I, you know, came to the studio. I was hearing briefly about that, and it did trigger some thoughts in my mind, although I didn't hear the entire scope of what you were addressing. But I knew it had to be with blacks and us absolutely owning our blackness and really zoning on that and maximizing our potential as black folks. But there is a God factor that seems to be the major element that either some get or don't get. But as I look at the history of blacks, one from a spiritual aspect, I thought about Abraham, who God called. And it was from a world where there was idolatry being practiced. So he wasn't a righteous man, so to speak. He came from an adulterous nation. And so God called him to start a whole new nation. So when I think about blacks and our power that we've had, or was entrusted with from years ago, I think the major issue was that there was a spiritual disconnect that happened to black folks. And so with all the wisdoms and the traditions and the culture that we've had that was so strong, I believe that was the missing element. We lost our real connection with the spiritual part of it. And that's the God factor in my studies. And so with that breakdown, every other thing else kind of exalted itself, whether it was wisdom, whether it was with culture, ancestry, studying the stars, the moon, the sun, and not touching the real thing. And I think that's where the disconnect happened, where we see where they probably became dominated because they lost that first connection. So yeah. we do have it's a bit of a quagmire trying to get through. What is real? How do I embrace my black? Do I embrace the culture? Do I embrace the wisdom, the history of it? Or do I embrace the God factor that they probably missed and reach for that so I can have perspective on everything else? So that's what, mm-hmm. that's what came to my mind when I heard.
Black family enterprise.
Yeah.
Is that something you could get on board with?
Sure, definitely. Yes. I mean, I think it's easier said than done, though. But I definitely believe it's something that I can and we should get on board with.
Yeah, why is it easier said than done? I just have to go there.
You know, I just said earlier, you see how we as blacks have a way of, I would say, I don't know if it's a tear down each other or not understanding the power that we can use to build each other up. We have this competitiveness about us, this competitive nature. And I think that it's really because we have been fear driven opposed to knowledge driven, you know. If you go back into the African cultures, you know, you have a tribe over there with his head shaved back, one shaved forward, and it's a problem. Because yours has looked like mine, then no, we gotta go to tribal war because you have five dots on your head, I have one dot on my head. We're the same black color, same skin tone, same sunburning us, but you look different from me. I don't know, you know, and those little things that I think cause issues. So I think the same applies to even families getting married. You know, what do you have? What don't you have? What are you bringing to the table? What are you bringing to the table? You know, will it benefit me if I get in with your family or vice versa? So there's a lot of inner conflicts going on within the black culture as to why the enterprise thing seemed to be a distant thing. And of course you have the outside cultures that's not black that are fighting against this powerful culture that they know. Because I think black has a certain amount of authority that we have, just being black, the way we move, the way we think and dance, just our rhythm. I think it intimidates a lot of people because it's so natural, it's just so
intense.
Yes, intense. You know? I think a lot of people, they get intimidated by that. Like, well, we can't have these people come together too much. If they come together, it can be dangerous here. So, I think that it's a lot. Of course, you know, if you look at how the culture was then mangled. In fact, if you look at American history 400 years ago, when we had them learn how to read so late, so they were taken from the original language of reading, now brought to a different world where they had to learn how to read, but way behind the other cultures. You know, so everything for them came slowly. So even now, getting into investments and money management, it's a whole that we're behind. We're not trying to catch up. So with that fear and that insecurity about it, and not having the confidence or the leverage, then it makes it that much harder. You know,
is that what makes it difficult, or is that what it has been said to have made to? Is that what is being said, and so we believe it? Like, I read some things before, and that's just for you to think about. I don't want you to necessarily answer that yet. Leadership is of such that a leader brings into existence what never existed before. Can we agree on that?
Yep, sure can.
Yes. What is the position of the man, the black man, in his family? Is he a leader or supposed to be?
Well, I think we have many, but not enough. It's always not enough in my outlook. I think there's some great leaders. We have men like Mandel. We have men like Dr. Martin Luther King. We have great men who have stepped out and have exemplified what is even to risk their own lives for their family and for other families too. But I think in general, generally speaking, we don't see that overall a number, you know, where the black man is just really stepping up and doing what he's supposed to do. But I think that, again, there is a element that I think the black man has spiritually. I think that's what is the main focus. That's his main problem. It's not just, I think, him learning and being more educated. Is that element that I think he has from his inception. There was supposed to be a spiritual role that the man has. And when that was broken, it's like it's up for grabs now. It's like it's almost like everything else became sub. And so that's my
take. I understand yeah. It's your take on it. And you're a black man, so it's important what your take is on it. And permit me, please, as a black woman, to mm-hmm. challenge you those thoughts. Right? That's why we're here, right? When Adam did what he did with Eve, as a result, well, and blamed Eve, all of humankind, human race, was affected. What makes the black man's struggle different from the white man's struggle, the Chinese man's struggle, the other people's struggle? Like, what makes it different? Is it a personal accountability, or the lack thereof? Or how, even when I hear people talk about slavery, I mean, the black race was not the only race to be enslaved. And as I read something earlier, I don't know if you were hearing what I read earlier. I want to pull it up because I think it's essential. It is essential to what I'm about to say. Other races have been able to define us without our permission, but gain our admission. Yeah? In that they will say things and we just say, yes, that's how we are. So for example, in this report from Forbes.com where it said, these segregation, who's the person speaking again? I don't remember her name, but it's there. If you're seeing the screen, you can look for the speaker, the person who said it. These segregation patterns then created market opportunities for black entrepreneurs to step in. I find that to be such an insulting statement. Yes? Segregation was a bad thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how did it create opportunities? Why is it that the blacks who stepped forward and in spite of created, why wasn't that the way the story was written? That's just one thing.
Wow.
The other part where it said many black pioneers took matters in their own hands. So whose responsibility was it? Why am I raising this? And there's one more. There's one more. So permit me, please. Here where it says, that's not it. Hold on. One more. There's one more.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Research has demonstrated that when compared to to other minority businesses, Black entrepreneurs lack social capital. They're at a disadvantage when it comes to social capital. And again, that's because we're constantly focusing on the fiscal capital, the financial capital. Who went and made our efforts a result of other people's right or wrongdoing? And why, help me understand why the Black man has not stepped out to call these things out, if he's the leader or supposed to be. Do you understand what I mean?
Yes, I do understand. Yeah,
I hope it's a fair question.
I mean, a question. Every question is worth I'm asking. I think that there's always a perspective I think that one looks at when we face with different conditions that we see in the human race. I'll give an example. The Bible talk about sheep. My sheep hear my voice. The sheep represent a kind of people that need to be led. It doesn't represent a people who necessarily have a lot of things rise up inside of it. The sheep need a shepherd. So who are those people? Who are the sheep? Maybe we can identify those people and say, who are they? So there seems to be a pattern in history where there's always somebody who God rises up to lead his people. If there is such a people, if there's something called a people, and they're God's people. Who are they? Are they people that we don't know who we are, what we are? God's people, we don't know that we are sheep. And then we're being confused that we're somebody else. Maybe that's the lie being told that we believed. So over and over again, he does that. And of course, we see where even Christ himself came. The Bible said he came to his own. He talks about the one who come to him, the one who come to him, and the one who God sent to come to him. I mean,
Are you saying that Black men, in order for them to lead, need someone to lead them?
Well, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying we gotta look at the entire narrative here. So I think Blacks on a whole have demonstrated that there always seems to be a leader that pivots them.
Yeah, and what's the role of the man? What's the role of the man? Isn't the man's role to lead?
Yes, so now
we're talking spirituality,
right? Saying, so that's why I said that's the break, that when that happens, see, so that's the first to me, the first,
and I agree to that, where you say there's a disconnect between people of color and God, men yes. of color and God. Yes. You're saying, I'm hearing you say, you know what, as a Black man, we have allowed ourselves to become disconnected from our source,
yes,
got that.
Yes. Yes.
So that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
So what does that mean as it relates to the role of the man? And I want to highlight this because research shows that Black women are leading. Mm-hmm. Now, one, I want to ask you, isn't that embarrassing for a man? That's number one. And two, has not that demonstrated that the woman comes with a certain set of skills that clearly are effective? And number three, why hasn't he zoned in on that? I understand, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, so we're all disconnected. Why is it harder on the Black man?
If you look at it this way, right? You know, it's like whenever anything that is supposed to be the most effective as far as the God connection gets attacked the most. It gets attacked the most.
Are you saying that Black men are appointed by God to lead overall, and so because of that, they're threatened?
I believe that's a part of it.
And that's the result of where we are?
That's a part of it. However, the story is not finished written yet. There's a story. There's a beginning and there's an end. See, when there's a story, there are going to be chapters in the story. So we see where We have a situation where maybe women are now the forefront, it's part of the story where men met to find themselves back to their role again. How that would look like, when that would look like, I don't know when and how. But we don't stop when there's a change. Sometimes change keep happening. I think though that it goes back again to that part of it where I think most of us try to ignore and don't really see how deep that is. To have a spiritual connection is the most important thing. And I think that when that was broken, everything else became a substitute. So, okay, remember when Adam sinned, the very ground itself became hard to till. The ground itself.
Yeah, but Keith, what you're saying to me has affected everyone. What yes. I'm trying to understand is why is it that the black man is the one hanging on to that for dear life? Why is it that they are more impacted than anybody else when everyone felt the tremor of that? Yes. What exactly is the role of the black man in black families and it becoming an institution that is self-sufficient, self-supporting, and self-nurturing? What's his role?
Let me give you two scenarios, right? Look at an African dominated country. All right, for instance, right? That's where blacks are pretty much the majority. Even the president is a black. Some African countries, they're Muslim are presidents, right? Muslim the presidents are different people, right? Well, blacks.
Yes.
What is the one thing that I noticed with these countries? Where is the spiritual, like the connection? So even the country, what am I seeing when I see that black man ruling that country? Beside the economic issue, beside the political issue, beside the social issues, what am I seeing in that nation? Now, I also look at blacks, say, in America. Now, I've seen blacks who have had some spiritual insights here, and blacks have tried, you don't hear much about it. You know, the boat that was coming over here with the slave ships, many slaves died. They didn't want to come over here. They killed themselves. Said, I'd rather be dead than to go to a place I don't know. Well, then we don't need a lot of those stories. Who said, listen to me, I'm not doing this. I'm not going to sacrifice my life for anybody else. And so a lot of people kill themselves. A lot of people here, even in America, they have actually tried to their own thing, create their own state, their own place, their own banks, their own thing, and it got torn down, like physically got bombed and those kind of things. So efforts were made several times over the years, the last 400 years, to have independence. It's not that you're saying it's an excuse, but it's a reality. It's like if you marry a man and he beats you, that's a real beating. You're either going to leave that house or stay with him and be abused. But it says, as you're going to say, I'm out of here. But the reality of you getting beat is a reality. It's your experience. So blacks have tried in different stages, but I think we all just see the mental and psychological plan. You see, evil and men who means to have
warfare against them.
Right. They're gonna when you know, wars are devised to actually, you know, to dominate. You think about the first time wars when they got together. Okay, you in red, you in green, bright colors, and we face each other and shoot. Who dies, dies. Who lives, lives. Now it's not about that anymore. It's about how can we get around, stop their defense, cut the communication off, surround them, sneak attack. I mean, surprise it. It's all a part of it. You know what I mean? Submarines under the water. You know, stealth missile.
Being more strategic. Yes. All right, yes. So how are black men positioning themselves, being in the awareness of all these things that are happening and the attacks that they come under? How are they strategically positioning themselves to apply their own tactics, their own strategies? Because what I'm trying to say is I understand what you're saying, and you're correct. I do believe there is a direct intentional movement or war against, I think there's a war against black men. Let me put it that way. That's my opinion. I think there's a war, not a psychological, a physical, yes, I feel so. Yeah. But I think the same war is against the woman.
Mm-hmm. I think so too. And also,
however, she has been self-sacrificial because she's been forced to, because she brings the children here.
Yes, yes.
So she feels she's obligated, whether it's going to kill her or not, she has to go. So yeah. She's showing up.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. What is it going to take for Black men to do the same?
I think let me talk about an envision for Black folks. Black folks, if they didn't have the talent of music, we'd be totally we'd be in the abyss. If we didn't have the talent of sports, those are God-given gifts, you know, that we've had. So Blacks dominate some of these areas, you know, in our society. So now looking at how it does need someone who can speak to these people, who can speak to them, who they would say, yes, how now can I? Because remember, even when they allow Blacks to have these kind of power, this kind of platform, they devise it in such a way where they kept separated. You have to be, you can't be too close. You got to keep you separated so you won't join force together. That's why a lot of these mega churches, you have CIA in this place sitting down watching. You have people there in the cover watching to see what the pastor is saying. Where are they going with this? Because when in the large crowds, there are folks there monitoring this stuff on a day-to-day basis. Make sure that it's a church. Make sure it's a church and nothing else. Nothing political here, you know? So we find that the Black man has, I believe, like I said, it's timing for me. It's all time. Oh, God, have to, everything in timing, where he now has God given that enlargement, he's going to give him the mouthpiece to speak to him, you know, where when he say X, Y, Z, they're going to be a rhythm that runs with that.
And what do we do until then? Until that time, what do we do?
Well,
the women have the responsibility, and that's it.
I'm just asking. I think.
I'm not seeking to offend a guy.
Yes.
So it's okay if you're offended too, because you're here to represent them. So
right. And the thing is that, you know, if you want to get real technical about it,
mm-hmm.
Israel, the Jewish people of God were in bondage for 400 years. Why did God allow them to stay that long in there? Why God could have ended it in 100 years? Could have ended it in 200 years. Why 400 years? So yes, there is suffering here. I mean, there are people who one time, countries where we actually women got mutilated, they cut out their clitoris, right? Now, as time goes on and there's light being shed and there's people traveling and they're more openness, all of a sudden, those things are becoming less and less and less. Why did God didn't even allow it to happen in the first place? The issue is that for every struggle and every suffering, there's a season, there's a time, there's a number on it. And mm-hmm. God knows that number. Now, are people trying? Yes. Are people trying to do it secretly? Yes. More than we probably even think. It's not always covertly. It's not always outward. Sometimes, as Black has learned that, listen, the way we're going to win, we can't put everything out there. Because sometimes we got to stay low and do our thing as well. So there's a lot going on, I believe. Mm-hmm. That we don't see, that God is working through some stuff, you know? Yeah. And so when you think that this thing is gone, it's not gone. It's just reinventing itself. It's just recreating itself. And something like COVID, I think, is actually a big part of the way forward, in which we're going to see a lot of things happen out of this whole crazy situation here that we call it.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe that what God planned for man, you said what men meant for evil, God meant for good.
Good.
And we've seen some things that happened and taking place within the process of it. And it looks ugly. It looks hard. It looks crazy, you know. But I think in the end, we're going to see how it all come together as a beautiful tapestry where the Blacks are going to be back together again. They're going to be a family. They're going to be a way where we see what God really intended it to be. And that's my believe in my hope that.
Yeah, you were put on the spot and you handled yourself. But before we go, and I know my producer is telling me time, I just want to go up to 11:15 because, you know, you came on late and stuff, but I don't want to miss out on this conversation. If you were to list the top three roles of a man in the family becoming an enterprise, Black family enterprising, three roles that you think men should be playing, whether it's now or when that time comes, as you say.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That's a great question. Great question. I think one is to find a spiritual connection that is so vital. And two, open himself to learn. Mm. The Bible said, learn from the ant. Go to the ant and learn. See how the ants operate, you know? And that learning now, and then execute. Mm. So your divine connection, you learn and execute that. And I think that's where we'll see a major shift in males, in males.
I'm going to ask you to be a bit more specific to the family, though, because when I hear you say those things, I'm hearing you say, develop the leadership in you, the leader in you. That's one responsibility or accountability. Yes. But I want to know the role in life, in the world, in the family. For example, you're a male, you're about to get married. Let's start there. You're about to get married because you've proposed to someone. Mm-hmm. Well, I guess one of the roles is he proposed, right? Choose one. Pick one.
Yeah.
No, they decide they're going to get married. Tell me at least one thing, one role he needs to play in this.
Right. You know, I think one of the major key that black man, and it's a bit of a conundrum in a way, but I can see sometimes that black men are misguided. The black woman, I think, and the way she has been showed to him, even on the screen in public, in the way she's displayed, he now has a false perception of what she is.
Yeah, but I'm hearing you constantly saying other things are influencing the black man.
Yes.
Where is the leader in him, where he's supposed to be cultivating and creating and bringing things? Like, what's the role of the man? I hear this constant, oh, this is happening to him. That's happening to him. Oh, this is happening to him. That's happening to him. And I think I think I'm fighting for him too. Yes. I'm not just here fighting for the woman, I promise you.
Yes.
Yes. I'm fighting for him too.
And
but
I think, right?
when does he stop and say, shit happens?
Right.
But I have to do this.
Right. But of course, I think you make a good point. But like here's the point I was gonna share with that, what I said before. When I say about executing, number one, you have to understand what the family is and what are the role in the family. Now, a lot of men don't understand the power of a woman or even a child. Many parents have actually done well and missed out the child. So they missed out a big part of the puzzle. Many couples have done well, wife and husband have done well together, and they miss a major part, the child. Many couples have had the entire family, because they understand the unit of it. So the part I was going to refer is that you need to understand the power of the black woman, the role, right? That's important. Mm-hmm. And then the role the child plays. How does he understand that? I mean, another culture won't teach him that, because another culture, whereby their own, really pretty much, and trying to get you to actually serve them. I mean, so again, that's why I mentioned about the spiritual connection. When that's blurred, believe me, and sometimes it's blurred to religiousness.
I wasn't going to say it, because I met some religious men, and I'm just like,
you're to
an
religion
awesome guy. What happened to you? Yes. Honestly, like, I'm like, what happened to you? Religion happened to you? And I think it's very messed up. Like, I don't.
Yeah,
I could go on for that, but I would love. Okay, there's a young man sitting right now that's listening to us. And he's trying to figure out, he's saying to himself, you know what? Yes, I've been in victim land for too long. I want to make a change. I want to step into my role. Give him three roles that he can start stepping into right now, in the current situation, right now, right here and now, regardless of the disconnect or the terror or the war on men. Like, three roles he needs to be playing right now for his family. Are you frozen? I think he's frozen. Please come back. Okay, I think Keith is frozen. I'd like to share some myself.
Yes,
I'm going to share three. Oh, he's back.
Yes.
Thank goodness. Yes.
So I would say three things. One is that
three positions he needs to take up and lead.
Right. One is that you cannot go it alone. a lot of times this single kind of nest, I'm a man, I got this
DIY business model, which is failing. Yes. The do-it-yourselfers.
Yes, that
it's
is
not working, but he's peddling anyway.
Yes. And then when he doesn't feel appreciated because there's no connection to what he's doing. So when you think he should be applauded, he's not applauded, and don't, so he gets discouraged. So you need a team. You need help. So therefore, identify what's important for the goal that you have in mind. If you have a vision or goal, identify, okay, what do I need or what could make this goal happen, the goal of it.
So the role now, is for him to become a visionary? Is that it?
Visionary.
Become a visionary, or at least lead a vision, as in connect with people who can help you connect with your own vision.
Right.
How do you put that into a role?
Right.
In a role, if you were to call that a role, what would it be? Lead his own life? Or lead?
Remember, leading is not also known how to be led as well. Part of leading is know how to be led, because
okay, so you're saying become a team player.
Team player, yes.
Okay.
Many leaders came out of following somebody else.
Is a follower. Every follower is a leader.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. So just understand that you're not here on your own. Number two,
so it's a matter of knowing what you're leading, because you're already leading. What are you leading, though? You may need to become clear about.
Yes. And you also don't want to approaching from just an emotional aspect of it, but a spiritual and logical aspect, because we are logical beings. So not just emotional, but spiritual and tactical, strategical, you see? So now it takes up just the feelings of it and the reality of it. That this you're going to require this. That's what Bobby said, before you build a house, count the cost.
Okay, so sorry.
Yes.
So if we're saying that is number one. So number one is to identify divine purpose and pursue it. And
it is a spiritual connection. That spiritual connection, where that leads.
Become a spiritual leader in your own life. Okay, so that's rule number one.
Yes.
Spiritual leadership in your own life and your own community. Okay, great. Number two. Mm-hmm.
And number two, now you're not going to figure out now. No, there's a vision is to be built. Now you count the cost of this. So it would come with planning. It comes with some strategicness, and so therefore, open yourself to where that can come from. So don't exclude the woman. Don't exclude the child. Don't exclude the resources that God gave you around to fulfill that vision or that goal. That's another major part that a lot of black men ignore.
So if we should put that in a role, you're saying run your family like a business, become the business leader for your family. I'm trying to understand the particular role. I want them to be clear about what they're doing. So the first one is to become a spiritual leader.
Yes.
In your own life, in your own community. The second one is to cultivate a family, a business mindset in your family or family business.
A strategic plan.
Become a strategic planner for your family.
Yes. Exactly.
That's another role. Okay. Right. So first is to become a spiritual leader for your family, in your own life, your family, and your community.
Yes.
And become a strategic planner.
Yes.
For yourself, your family, and your community.
Yes.
One more, please.
Oh, yes. And the other one now is pretty much you really got to stay. I would say, we underestimate prayer. You know, when God asks Solomon, what do you want? Do you want riches? Do you want this? It's the God. And what does Solomon say? Wisdom, knowledge, understanding. It's not just knowing the thing, it's knowing how to execute it. The knowledge is knowing the thing. Wisdom is how to execute. It's how to execute. You see? So you're gonna try for balance. Now, the family needs balance. Your wife needs balance. So how do you balance those roles where you're not out of sync? So, you know, it's there going like a mad horse, and then your kid and your wife is nowhere or whatever it is. So it's finding a balance in that. And I think those three things can really send you flying, I believe.
So when you say find a balance, what's the role in that? Are you saying that they should become the accountability partner? The person who takes accountability and ensures that there is fairness?
Yes. There's fairness and there's... That's right, because remember, the role of a man in his family is very important. Where he is emotionally and spiritually and physically, where he's there. What does that look like for each person? He may require the right communication, right? The right kind of agreements, because what may look like...
So he leads by example.
By example, also, yes.
Is that what you're saying?
And it communicates what, so that therefore you can have a, you can have agreement, and you can have a level of support that he needs, you know.
What's
and,
the role and, though? The role, the, I'm trying to get the role out of what you're saying. So the role, yeah, is being an effective leader. Is that what you mean? What, well, is the role?
The role, like I said, a big part of his
role. You're saying that he should be able to get the there's this thing that leaders have to do where they have to get the support. You have to be able to generate the support of, mm-hmm, your community.
Yes.
I don't remember the term for it. There's a term for it. Mm-hmm. How to get the buy-in, your stakeholder, yeah, buy-in.
Yeah.
And that comes naturally with a leader, because you said be a spiritual leader already. You said be a strategic planner. So the third one I'm trying to understand is that you're saying he should be the one to get the buy-in. He's a sales rep.
Well, yeah, you could say that, because now if he's leading, then I mean,
stakeholder management.
How are they seeing you lead? You know, I mean, mm-hmm, are their sensitivity, are their determination, are they seeing drive, are they seeing someone who, you know, who just given
in? What's the role? What's the role that all of what you're saying comes under?
The role that you have, you already have the role, is how you're walking that role.
Remember, we're giving them three roles that, right, they need to step into: spiritual, right, leadership, strategic, mm-hmm, planning. What's the third one? So is the third one to be able to galvanize support?
Well, yes. Remember, we're talking about as leading. How
I'm
you
trying to understand if that's what you're saying.
Yes, to communicate that role.
Oh, so effective communicator.
Right. Remember, I said earlier, he has to communicate that so it can be understood and it can be supported correctly. So yeah, you should have the right support. How does he communicate that role, that vision, that the objective of what he's trying to put his plan in place? I mean, the strategic plan. How does he communicate that to the community, to his family,
to get their buy-in,
the right support, so okay, he can, you know, he won't have to, rather than having an opposition, he has cooperation, right, or he, okay, has the support, the leverage. Great.
I think what I'm hearing Keith say is three things: spiritual leadership. He has to be the spiritual leader, which means that he has to establish and maintain a direct relationship with the God of his understanding.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Then two, he needs to be a strategic planner. He's the one that leads the family in planning and visionary. Doesn't mean that he's the one that comes up with all the ideas.
Exactly.
He leads,
exactly,
the process, mm-hmm, to that by enrolling everyone. And then the third thing, which I think is really unique and important, and I like that you said it too. I think your three is very, very comprehensive, where he becomes the stakeholder manager, the manager for the stakeholders. He enrolls everyone, mm-hmm, and he leads by example, yeah, and he manages that relationship. I think those three key, yeah, are exceptional examples. And I think if we were to start there, we would make a really great turn in the way forward for the Black community and the Black family. Really, really great suggestions.
Mm-hmm.
Producer, if you could pull that up on the screen, I'd be grateful. Spiritual leader,
mm-hmm,
that's number one. I don't know if my producer's there. Are you there? Spiritual leader. Let me put it up because I want them to hear this one. Spiritual leadership. And then you said strategic planning. Strategic. Mm-hmm. And stakeholder management. These things are really critical to the success.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it is.
Wow. Well said. So I just want to share this because I want persons to be able to see it. Right. So the role of the man: spiritual leadership, strategic planner, and stakeholder management. I can get on board with these three things. I want to say thank you. Thank you so much. I think these are so comprehensive. And I think just our conversation was a demonstration of how men and women could work together to get to the goal.
Indeed.
You agree to that? Right, because we were communicating and I was helping you bring it together in a way,
yes,
that I think.
Yeah, the details,
you know,
yeah.
Yes. Of course. Yes, mm-hmm. Great job, Keith. I'm so thankful for you for joining me today. We went in a little time, but that's
great,
okay.
Great. Yeah. Yes. Far as great. That's a you know?
Yes, absolutely. I think it is so important how we represent ourselves. And it is my hope. Well, I need to share my three. I'd like to share some roles that I think men can also take in addition to what you said from my perspective or from a woman's perspective. I think the man, one, he needs to be the man. He's not replaceable. He may think he is, but he needs to get over that. And being the man means that knowing who you are and representing that, regardless of what anyone says, he needs to be the man. Yes. And being the man also means take a woman and make her your wife. I don't care who she is. Take her and make her your wife by loving her. It is said that a man, if he doesn't love a woman, will never grow to love her. Mm. But a woman who doesn't love a man, if that man loves her, she grows to love him.
Wow.
And I think that speaks to where God says a man should choose a woman.
Mm.
And not the other way around. You know, we'd be trying to do it, but it's not happening, right?
Yeah.
That's one. Be the man. Be the man. And two, I believe that the only way for us to move forward in a healthy way or in a productive way, it will not happen until the man holds himself accountable. He has to be the person who is accountable. He's got to take it. He has to take he has to take the D. He has to take the fail. He has to own the results, his outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes? If he has to own it. And I think men need to get to a place of there are no excuses anymore. As long as he thinks there is a reason, a story, an explanation, then it will continue being, because there's no need to change, because he thinks there's something that suffices, that allows for this to happen. Be the man and take accountability. Take accountability. Even if you think you didn't do anything wrong, still take it. That's the example I see God leading by. I don't see God coming on and say, but you sinned, so. No. You know, he took accountability. He gave the most prized possession. He sent his son to die. He came and died. And I believe that men need to take on that role, you know, of the accountability.
Mm-hmm.
You cannot be in a group with anyone, especially another female, and the woman is the one taking accountability. It can't win.
Mm-hmm.
Because now you're by default appointing her leader, but you're not going to let her lead because you still believe, oh, I'm the man, I'm supposed to. Even for men who don't say it, the very makeup of a man is leadership.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no surrendering leadership when he's in the room, which is why there's so much static sometimes. Because he's not leading, but he's the leader.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to take accountability for whatever the outcome is, whether he did it directly or indirectly.
Right.
Yes? So he needs to be the man, if he's the man, and he needs to take accountability. And number three, I have it in my, I know what it is. Let me see how best I say this. It is his job to bring things into existence that never existed before. So instead of worrying about what he doesn't have or cannot do or how he's this or that, instead of getting stuck in the story, do a new thing.
Mm-hmm.
Do a new thing. Delegate, but show up ready. Actually lead. We don't need, and let me tell you something. A smart man in the presence of a woman knows and understands that chances are it's not his hands that are supposed to be moving, creating, but it's his vision that should be leading.
Right.
So instead of complaining and explaining and he can just show up and say, how do you suggest we go through this? Can you execute it? What do you need from me?
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have to say, oh my God, I'm not even sure what to do here. I didn't know what, I have something. He doesn't need to. That's chaos.
Mm-hmm.
That's not leadership. See? But before he can lead, he has to be accountable. He has to first show up and say, as the man here today, I am responsible. God guide me.
Right.
You don't know how to guide yourself. Mm-hmm. And ask the people in front of you.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they show up for you. So one, He needs to be the man. Walk in his manhood.
Mm-hmm.
Walk in your man, your truth, the truth of God, of who you are.
Right.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Two, take accountability. With accountability comes empowerment.
Right.
And so when you take accountability, show up and empower. Show up and become the become the empowered leader. Lead. Yes, lead. Lead. So those are my three. And Keith, I just want to say thank you so much for being here today. Thanks to my producer. Thanks to the persons who are watching. Thank you for the persons who were engaged. It is my hope that this program brings about shifts in one's paradigm. It is my hope that when a male person watches the show, they're not in their feelings, but they're able to say, interesting perspective. What are my thoughts? And can those thoughts become rearranged? We are not disempowered. And the reason we're not, whether we have whether our spiritual connection with God is broken or strong, whether people do things to harm us, because God is in control, we have the power to become who we want to be.
Yes.
But if we keep thinking we are disempowered, then we will continue to act that way.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But if we get to a place of thinking, I am empowered, and beginning to act that way. You know, one of the things I've learned when Donald Trump went into office is how human all our systems are. Human. It's very human. And if it's human, you don't have to ascribe to it.
Yeah.
You don't have to. Because who you should be serving really is God, and trusting him to lead, and know that anywhere he leads you, if he did not think you had the capacity to lead there, he wouldn't send you there. So when they say in spite of, it's not in spite of, is that people decided who made, because every other culture have to go through something. Because if we make us the victims and we're saying that every other culture would have it easy, nobody has it easy. Everyone has to get up. It's just who's willing to die for it.
Right.
Leadership is being willing to die. And I think our men are fearful, and they're pushing the women out there to go die instead of them. And that's not leadership. And that's my opinion. Yes? That's my opinion. A single man can't lead me. A single man at a certain age cannot tell me anything. You want to tell me you couldn't pick one? There's not one woman out there you can pick. And you know God. And you trust God. And you serve God. And there's not one you can pick and say, you know what, I'm going to trust God with this. See, lead. Lead. So it is my hope that when they hear this program, and thank you too for sitting in it, because, you know, I know my energy, my intensity sometimes, you know, can be overwhelming, but you sit through it. And I want to thank you for that.
Everyone is different. It's all, you know, if you approach this thing in a very narrow sense, the world, God is a very colorful God. I mean, if people are tall, short, some are, you know, some run fast, some run slow, some, you know, I mean, hey.
Yeah. Yes. But thank you for, you know, honoring this process and sitting through it respectfully. And next week, we're going to be speaking about Black Family Enterprise. I will be speaking with a Black woman. I don't know who that person is yet, but I'm looking forward to it so we can also hear from them. And I think this is I want this to be a series, because there's another male person that I want to speak to, Kay Anthony, and I'm going to just call him out from now. I would love to have him on as a guest to talk about this particular thing, the Black Family Enterprise. The role of the man. I want to leave with this. Black woman, Black man, you're powerful, you're strong, you're a leader. Whether you're walking that leadership or not, you are a leader, you're a visionary, you are powerful beyond measure. Trust God in that and know that. Discover your divine purpose on earth, your true potential, and pursue God's purpose for your life. You are not some regular person out there. You are a chosen people, and you need to start behaving like it. Why do you think the challenges are there? They're there to test you. Look at the story of Moses and Abraham and Jacob. Look at the stories. God does not send these challenges or allow these challenges because you were too weak to handle it. No, he sent those to demonstrate his power through you. That you can and you will, and you've been doing it. And I think Keith is right when he said there's some undercover soldiers that we have out there. We got you. And and Black woman, pray for your Black men. I've had to learn that and speak positive over them, because I was one of those women who kept speaking negative and negative and negative, feeding again into the conversation that is seeking to disempower them. Black man, you're powerful, you're sexy, you have all that, you know, Black man magic in you. I salute you. You know, so I'm just going to leave you with that, and next week we'll continue the conversation. But thank you so much for listening, and I hope that you were empowered by this conversation.
Awesome.
I am purpose-driven. It's not personal. It's purpose. When you see me, there's deeper than what meets the eyes. There is a soul, a spirit, a divine purpose. Join me Thursdays at 10 a.m. Finding Happy on UNE Radio.